You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. Coming up on this episode, I'm joined by Mark Douglas as we discuss the last 24 hours in the world of Newcastle United. There's only one place to start, and that is the news that the arbitration against the Premier League regarding that Saudi-led takeover of the club has been delayed until early 2022. We answer your questions, we discuss what that means going forward for that deal, and what Mike Ashley does this summer. Will he back Steve Bruce or gamble that the side has enough to get through to the new year? I'm also joined by the Newcastle United Supporters Trust, Thomas Concannon, as he discusses the Trust's view and what they're doing to help Newcastle United fans get the answers they want on this deal. Plenty of questions answered, put in by you guys. Please remember to like and subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you're catching us on. Sit back and enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast, live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and later on our podcast channel. I'm Andrew Musgrove, joined as you can see by Mark Douglas, and we're going to talk about the last 24 hours in the world of Newcastle United. Just to recap, last night the club released a statement regarding the arbitration hearing between themselves and the Premier League. I'll just read out the statement that the club put out yesterday. It is as follows. The parties attended a hearing today, which was Monday, in the case between Newcastle United and the Premier League. The main hearing of the arbitration has regrettably now been adjourned until early 2022. Due to issues with disclosure of evidence, the parties will be making no further comments at this time. Mark, given the past few weeks where confidence was there, Mike Ashley's people were confident. We heard Amanda Staveley, although she wasn't directly involved in the arbitration, she was clearly confident of a positive outcome. Were you surprised yesterday when this statement dropped?
I mean, obviously surprised that the finality of it, if you will, six months, long time. I think like everybody been kind of aware that something was going to drop at any time. But I don't think anybody could have had utter confidence that it was going to go Newcastle's way, because with legal proceedings, it's never straightforward. There's never a sort of certainty. And I was surprised at the sort of level of confidence that was being spoken of by Mike Ashley, and in particular, Amanda Staveley on Friday, actually saying, you know, we'll see you at St James's Park, this deal will get done. Because, you know, they don't have control over this now. You know, they've already lost two preliminary kind of hearings of this arbitration. And now, obviously, there are problems on both sides with disclosure of evidence, which implies that it's much more complicated than has been let on. Now, arbitration was obviously only one route. There's also the competitions appeals tribunal, which will now go forward. But as we've said before, you know, that could take months. And you know, there's no certainty on that one either, because it's, you know, it's very much a, you know, that's new territory that's being trodden by Mike Ashley here. But, you know, my questions now are, I mean, you know, it was a surprise at the statement, obviously, yes, because of the confidence that we'd seen from Mike Ashley. And to me, it felt like if it's both parties have kind of got to this point where there's been a disclosure of evidence problem, how long have they known that this is the case? Why have we had this push for arbitration to be transparent? Because, you know, if it hasn't actually gone ahead, why was that an important issue? I understand why it's an important issue, because we want transparency, and I agree totally with the Staveley camp on that. But there's obviously a massive measure of disappointment that we're going to be possibly facing another 6 months of this. The uncertainty, I think, has been incredibly damaging for Newcastle United. This club has been a walking takeover sideshow for 15 months now, arguably even longer than that, because we had Kenyon, we had Joe DeGrosa, we had Staveley's first iteration of her bid. This is now getting into two or three years where the takeover has been the main story and Newcastle fans haven't been able to really concentrate on what's happening. And I feel that it's spawned its own industry. It's now the biggest story around Newcastle United, and people are more interested in talking about that than they are about the football club. And I wonder whether, you know, something needs to be done about this. It can't go on indefinitely like this. And I just feel incredibly sorry for Newcastle fans. I mean, from Staveley's point of view, from Ashley's point of view, they might say, well, it's incredibly frustrating, but what is 6 months if we're convinced it's going to happen? But they have been convinced it's going to happen for 15 months. And at what point do we have to say, for the greater good of the football club, something needs to happen in terms of, if Ashley says, I'm sidelining this now for however long, we're just going to get on as if we're running the club long term. Because it hasn't, for 12, 15 months, the club has been run as if Mike Ashley's going to hand the keys over at any minute, which is why you've got the manager you've got, why they didn't sack him last year, why you've not got any new signings, why there's so many things have just been left up in the air for 15 months. I think personally, I'm not saying drop the takeover, because, you know, this could potentially still be the golden lottery ticket at some point for Newcastle United. Although a bigger issue, which I'm sure we'll get onto later, is whether PIF actually stay involved in this, because how much longer are they going to hang around in the background? Well, possibly. Well, I'm not saying they're not there anymore, but I think it's clear that their attitude has kind of been, you guys get on with it. We're not getting involved. Nobody from PIF has talked about it. Nobody from PIF said anything publicly while the rest of this stuff's been going on. So that tells you something, even though obviously people from PIF, as far as we're aware, are still involved. They still want to be the owners of Newcastle United. But I feel that, you know, something needs to be done, and change of emphasis at the football club, where they start saying, we're going to start running it as if we are going to be the long-term owners again, which is what Mike Ashley originally did. When Kenny was going on, that was, Kenny was still saying, we're going to run it as if this club is going to be mine for forever. You know, he said that two years ago, when Steve Bruce got the job, he gave that interview to the Mail where he said, I'm going to be running this forever, the rest of my life. Unfortunately, that has to be his attitude now, in my opinion. And the takeover stuff just has to go on in the background and let the lawyers get on with it. And less cryptic tweets, less, you know, of that kind of thing, less, you know, it's been very clear that Staveley and her husband want to be at the forefront of it. I think they believe genuinely that things were going to happen this summer, and they thought they would be in charge again. But obviously they're not going to be. So now I think that for the best of the club, Ashley has to run it as if he's going to be running it in 2, 3, 4 years time. And he needs to sign some players, and he needs to do the right things for the club now.
A lot of people in the comments asking about the statement yesterday in which it said there was issues with disclosure of evidence, and do we know whether it's one side, both sides? I guess that is really the key question from that statement. You know, the fans need and deserve answers. Is this just on the Premier League? Is this the club's issue as well? You know, are both parties at fault here?
I don't think, you know, my take on it from speaking to a few people is that it wouldn't be one side. It would be both sides, because if it was just one side, then it might have proceeded. But there's clearly been things on both sides that haven't been able to be provided. And that is, you know, that's obviously caused the problem that we've got right now. Without any transparency for this, which is, to be fair to Amanda Staveley, is her point all along, without any transparency, without this having been able to play out in public, we just don't know. And I would be speculating, but the information that's been fed is that there were issues on both sides. But, you know, again, we what would be great is if we could find out from the Premier League and from the Staveley camp and from, well, obviously he's not involved in arbitration. This is actually Mike Ashley's arbitration claim. So if she can, if the club can tell us who it is that's had the problem, then that would be much bigger. And of course, Mike Ashley is all for transparency now. So let's see that. See that information. And I think I should just share everybody's frustration, really, because we get information around the sides of it. And I think what's been interesting in the last few weeks in particular is that we've seen the interview that she gave to TalkSport, Sky Sports and Tyne Tees, the messages that came across from that, are the messages that, you know, obviously been flying around off the record for a long time. And people will sort of say, well, why did you get things so wrong last summer? We can see now that the messages that come across are very confident. There's clearly a, you know, a belief that it's going to happen. And you know, I'm not saying that that's not correct. But it with this process and the situation we're in now, there isn't a certainty around it. There isn't a certainty that it's going to happen. So, you know, we have to look upon sort of very certain statements that it's going to happen in X, Y, Z. We have to say those have been proven wrong on more than one occasion in this whole scenario. So, you know, it feels very uncertain at the moment about whether that takeover is going to happen. I'll always believe that it could happen because you've got the willing people there. But when you get into these legal battles, you know, the Cat case, a lot of people talking about up now as if that could change the game. And we'll see, you know, it may be it's a different sort of thing, but people with legal knowledge seem to be suggesting that could play out over a long, long period. The best scenario for the buyers would be if a compromise could be released and an agreement could be reached with the Premier League that is away from all these court cases, but hasn't been a willingness on the part of the Premier League to do that. And I would guess the kind of state of the statements that have been released by Newcastle over the last few months would suggest that a deal isn't particularly close, but obviously that would be the best case scenario. And I assume that would come from them having bits out there that they wouldn't want out in the public domain. That seems to be the suggestion. But again, you know, it's a theory. There's nothing to support that at the moment.
We'll get on to the CAC case in a moment and plenty of questions as well for you, Mark, in the comments. But I'm going to welcome Thomas Concannon from the NUST now into the stream. Thomas, thanks for joining us here on the Everything is Black and White podcast. The Trust sent out a long statement last night. A few of the points I'm going to read out now. The need for transparency across all aspects. You guys want to know how indeed the Premier League are protecting Newcastle, which is one of the things put forward by Richard Masters earlier this year. And obviously the last line, we all deserve better. How are you feeling the day after the last 24 hours?
Frustrated is probably the best word I can use. It's just really difficult. Again, it's never easy, is it? That this is just a constant roller coaster of emotion for all fans involved. And I think that's the hardest thing to take. I'm sure many people are quite annoyed this morning that this is just going to continue even longer.
One of the things that was in the statement was to urge Mike Ashley to kind of, you know, improve the squad this summer, given, you know, the season is just less than a month away now. How important is that, do you feel, for Newcastle United, Steve Bruce, going forward?
I think it's vital, isn't it? You know, we're in a situation where, regardless of who owns the football club, you know, he owns it right now, and he needs to make sure that we're striving to be the best that we can be. And it just feels as though that this whole takeover scenario is an excuse to just, you know, try and just hope and pray for the best that things are going to be okay next season. It felt that way last season. It'll definitely be the case this season because, you know, the reported transfer budgets and everything else. I'm worried. I'm really worried. I'm worried that this whole issue won't even be a Premier League issue for much longer. If this continues, you know, well into next season, even towards the end of next season, that it might not be their issue anymore. And I think, you know, so he has to make sure that this is, that we're covered and that we're still going to be protected going into the Premier League season. That the resources are going to be available. That Steve Bruce can spend a little bit of money and that just to make sure that we stay up.
In terms of transparency and getting clarity for the fans on the subject of the takeover, how important is that, do you feel? And I mean, everyone's been kind of banging the drum. We have here at the Chronicle, you guys have at the Trust, other media organisations as well, for many, many months. Just how frustrated is the Trust that here we are, you know, more than 12 months later after the deal was kind of pulled off the table and we're still fighting for those answers?
Exactly. It is incredibly frustrating, especially from the Trust, because this was the biggest message that we tried to push when we met with the Premier League 11 months ago. The transparency angle, you know, it was absolutely vital because these people hold all the cards to the future of our football club, yet we don't, we as in our opinion, we're the most important people in all of this, and we're kept completely in the dark. And that's the most frustrating thing from a trust point of view, that we've been banging this drum for so long, yet no one seems to be listened to. And, you know, especially after everything that's happened during the pandemic and everything after the whole European Super League and them claiming as to how important fans are, yet we see no proof of that. We never see any proof of that. It's the same thing over and over again, where they talk a good game, but when it boils down to it, we're the last ones to know anything.
Another potential 6-month delay just to get any answers. I mean, that is devastating for the fan base. How do you think the trust will handle that? Because I'm sure you'll probably get lots of emails, frustrated emails from members, from fans. Another 6 months, it's just no good for anybody, is it?
It definitely isn't. I mean, from a trust point of view, we've got so much to do anyway in terms of hoping to liaise with the club about the return of fans and how complicated that's going to be. Ticketing issues, there'll be issues around people that can't return yet who want to keep their season ticket and everything else. You know, there's other stuff going on as well that'll be quite important to the trust. But in terms of the Premier League issue, we've just got to try and use any avenue that's open to us, be it through the Football Supporters Association, and try and liaise with people at the Premier League that way, and keep pushing through other channels, whether it be through MPs, you know, just anything that football fans can do to try and get this done, or to try and open things up a little bit more, so that we can just have some clarification as to what's going to happen. Fans need to know where they stand. Fans need the option to make up their minds going forward. And they're not going to be able to do that on no information. There'll be a lot of fans whose return to games will be based on this takeover going through. There'll be a lot of people who won't go back unless this takeover goes through. So it delays that process as well, of a lot of people waiting to come back to games, and they just won't, and they just don't know when they'll be able to.
And Mark, I guess Thomas makes an excellent point there. It's not just transfers that, you know, Newcastle need to sort out. There are loads of other issues, not least, as Thomas mentions there, the fans coming back, the 10,000 free season tickets they gave out before the pandemic. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be addressed on and off the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, amazingly, you know, the issue of season tickets and those kind of things, other clubs have put on sale and are starting to communicate with their supporters. Newcastle haven't done that. I think the problem is through the whole of last season, they got used to not needing to do these things. I think, you know, we have to be honest, they've had a lot of staff on furlough for a long time. And just generally, I think the club, there are some good people at the club who try to communicate, who try to do bits for fans, and they're just not supported enough. Because as I go back to what I said before, I genuinely think Mike Ashley, Lee Charnley and a lot of other people there believe that they weren't going to be at the club any longer. So they are running it day to day, pretty much. And last season was all about getting to the end of the season so we can get to arbitration, we can get to all these things, we can get some resolution on it, we can get the club sold. But we, you know, I think Thomas absolutely nailed it there. You know, how can a club be left in limbo for so long? And Mike Ashley, for me, is obviously to blame. Premier League also have to a duty of care. I mean, Thomas, you know, did an absolutely outstanding job with the Premier League in getting some of the answers, because they've actually not stuck to what they said to Thomas. I think now it's on them to, you know, they might say, well, we don't want to speak to every fan. You've got a trust there, democratically elected, one of the biggest in the country. Speak to them. They won't tell us anything. They just give us a no comment. So speak to the trust.
Thomas, are you frustrated with what Richard Masters said to you guys when you met him about, you know, there'll be a time when we can be open about this to give more information? And here we are all these months later and we're still waiting on that. And as your statement says, and the previous statements by the trust as well, you know, the fans deserve better. They deserve answers to what has happened with this deal.
It is frustrating. It really is frustrating, because I felt at the time that Richard Masters, you know, or what he said anyway, was that Newcastle United were being protected. That was one thing that we asked, you know, are Newcastle United at the forefront of your mind here in all of your decision-making? Because at the end of the day, that's who's most important. And it is frustrating to see that, you know, he was adamant that he wanted a time and place to be able to talk about everything that's happened. And it feels as though he's been given ample opportunity to do that, and they've just refused it every step of the way, which we just don't understand. You know, they have a good relation. The Premier League have a good relationship with the Football Supporters Association, which is the one, you know, they were the ones that got us in the room. And we just hope that through that channel, we'll be able to continue putting that pressure on. And we hope that the FSA will back us up on that as well, because I'm sure that they can understand our frustrations throughout this whole thing. And we just hope that through them, we can continue adding that pressure on the Premier League. And hopefully force them into a situation where they will talk to us, and they will talk to as many people as possible. And we understand that they can't go out and talk to everyone. Totally get that. That makes sense to go through a certain channel. And we just hope that because we've had that channel was open to us before, we hope it will be again.
Is that the case now for the next kind of the next few weeks? You guys in the statement says you'll be exploring all avenues. Are you guys now just sitting down and trying to plot the next move for how you can represent Newcastle United fans?
100%. Absolutely. You know, we'll be trying straight away with the FSA. We'll see what channels are open to us, see if they can help in any way, shape or form. I dare say, unfortunately, I think that door will be closed at the other side. From the Premier League, I don't think they will speak to us about this. I think they'll speak to fans about certain issues, about the return of fans and everything else. And I think those conversations will be had. But I think anything to do with the Newcastle United takeover will be quite quiet from them. But we can only try. That's all we can do. As long as we know that, then we can hold our heads high, I suppose. But yeah, it's still disappointing, though, because it's a bit demoralising when you keep trying and you just don't get anywhere with these people. And that's what needs to change. And that's what I'm hoping. That this is where I think the fan-led review is the biggest thing. I think that has to be the thing that really changes everything going forward for the years to come.
Mark's unmuted. Were you going to come in with something there, Mark? Or
no, I was just going to say, I think Tom's absolutely spot on about that. There's two like long-term things, and I know Newcastle fans right now want instant answers, and they want to have the silver bullet that gets this takeover through. They want to know what they can do. We've seen loads of good sort of direct action in terms of lobbying MPs and things like that, and you know, protests and things like that work. But the two things, I think Tom's totally right about the fan review. There's a questionnaire that all fans can fill in. Second one, and you know, we haven't mentioned it much in the last few weeks because everybody's been focused on the takeover, is the 1892 pledge. I've just checked there, £125,000 raised from ordinary supporters. You know, we said it was going to be a long-term thing. That's 3 months down the line. You know, if we're still in this situation in 2 years, I mean, it's clearly going to go on for another 6 months. If we're still in this situation in 2, 3, 4 years' time, we're going to be at the stage where, you know, we have raised enough money to get the stake that we kind of want. And, you know, I understand, and we live in a social media age where people on Twitter want to kind of like say, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, they've kind of leveled it at the Chronicle and said, why can't you do more? Level it at the Trust, why can't you do more? This direct action, you know, I'm sure will be things that the Trust will do and voices that they will make heard and represent the case much better. But as well as that, you need the diplomacy down the back channels, and also need to be able to do something like the 1892 pledge, which I would urge everybody to take a look at, who hasn't yet done it. You know, I give a very really small amount, but every month, I'm sure a lot of people do. And you know, you're getting there. It's getting there. That's the thing. It's horrible to think that it might be 5, 10 years down the line when you raise enough money to buy a stake. But for me, as frustrating as it feels, that was a day of hope. That was a kind of week of hope. And the hope's still there.
Yeah, I donate as well. It's a brilliant pledge to make. So fingers crossed something can come of it. Finally, Thomas, just a bit about what Mark said. Obviously on social media, there's still critics of this trust. There's still critics of the pledge. And what would you say to those people who are not yet on board with what you guys do? And I think our position, Mark and myself, you know, we think you guys do excellent work. What would you say, though, to those who still need a bit of persuading that the trust, you know, would be the right move for Newcastle United fans?
Just that, you know, we are, first and foremost, we are fans like everyone else, you know, and we are elected by by the members, you know, and it's not just a few people. This, the last election alone was about 6,000 people voted in it. Now, we realise that, that a trust isn't for everyone and that people don't like being told what to do. But when it boils down to it, there are fans there that will fight our corner, whether it be me, you know, anyone else that's on the board, anyone else that comes on the board in the next election. You know, there's people there that, that try to fight our corner on every topic, not just the takeover, it's everything. So it's tickets, it's, you know, the return of fans to stadiums, even the likes of Strawberry Place, you know, being sold away from the football club. There's loads of things that, that the Trust put themselves behind. And we are people, we are approachable as well. You know, we don't hide. We're all on social media. You know, you can email us, you know. I'm sure most people on the board would be happy to have a conversation over the phone or even over a pint now that we can that we'll be going back to the game soon. And I just wish that people would just give the supporters just a chance, you know. Like I say, we're not hiding anywhere. I know that a lot of people say that we don't do a lot, but I think that's more based on frustration around the whole takeover, that not a lot's getting done, and the majority of people are just looking for someone to blame. That's what it feels like, that as soon as anyone has an opinion or has some involvement in this, however small that part is, they're in the firing line to take some blame on the fact as to why it's not getting done, when in reality, this is taking place in a courtroom, and that's where, you know, and the people willing to spend £300 million have all the power in this whole situation. And we just hope that those people who have the power can make this happen for us one way or the other, you know, because we just need to know. We need to know an answer. But in terms of the Trust, we'll just continue to do as much as we possibly can in the avenues that are open to us. You know, we have to be somewhat respectful of the people that we deal with and try and get answers that way. You know, there's other groups for everything else in terms of protests. We have, you know, many, many great people who are willing to put their neck on the line to try things. And we just believe that the way that we go about things is the way to do things, you know, from a Trust perspective. Other people can do their own thing on the side, and that's absolutely fine as well. We're all fighting for the same thing. We all want this takeover to go through. We're not the enemy, is what I would say. You know, we're all on the same side, and it is quite disappointing when you do get quite a bit of stick that you're not doing a lot when you know fine well that you are. It is quite disappointing, but it is what it is. It's part of the course, isn't it? So we just have to keep trying and hopefully win some people over in the future.
Thank you for tuning in to Everything is Black and White podcast. We'll get back to the show in just a moment. We just urge you guys to please subscribe to the podcast through whichever platform you use. Totally free to do. Just means every time we upload a new episode to our channel, you'll get a notification saying we've done just that and you can listen to it straight away. And if you get the chance to leave us a review as well, that would be much appreciated. That really does help us out. You can also follow Chronicle Live's Newcastle United channels over on social media. We're at Chronicle NUFC on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And you can email us here at the show with your feedback, your comments, your questions, whatever. Just drop us a line at the eibwpodcast@reachplc.com. And you can also stay up to date with everything to do with the club by subscribing to our daily Newcastle United newsletter. That's also free. And you'll get a morning news roundup, an evening news roundup and a breaking news alert as well. And that'll get emailed directly to your inbox. The link for that is in the show notes. Hit that, scroll down to sport-newcastleunited, tick the box, and you'll all be signed up. Once again, thank you for listening, and we'll now get back to the show. So there, Mark, I mean, really interesting stuff there from Thomas. We'll dive into a few of the questions that people have put on for you. We'll start with this one from our YouTube channel from Flory Topeka. He or she asks, what do you make of Murad Guduci's tweet in which he said there's only one party playing games here? Of course, he is the husband of Amanda Staveley.
It's again very strident point of view. I think, you know, they feel that I would guess, I mean, obviously he didn't expand on it, so I don't want to put any words into his mouth. I mean, I'm sure there will come a point where he probably does expand exactly what that means, but it's been very clear that they believe that the Premier League are trying to hold things up, trying to delaying tactics and things. Again, it goes back to the question, doesn't it, about who was not willing to help the disclosure of evidence. It's been reported that it was both sides, but if they're claiming it's only one side in that tweet, then there you go. You know, I kind of appreciate the fact that he does communicate and that there, you know, the tweets are happening and stuff, but you know, the problem is that sometimes it's left open to interpretation. And obviously, this is another one where it's left open to interpretation. Clearly, there's the belief from the consortium is that the Premier League are the problem here. Nobody else. They believe that they've given every single scrap of evidence that's required to get it through. So it, you know, it's very much in keeping with that belief. But you know, I think probably the Premier League maybe privately would have something different to say, but with no comment from them, Mirdad has the floor on this one, and he will, I'm sure, have a lot of sympathy amongst Newcastle fans.
Roger Cook asks, could the CAD case not reveal enough that the arbitration will not be necessary? And we spoke about this earlier in the show. There's lots of people pushing that sort of theory. We will state that neither you or I are, you know, clued up too much on the legal side of things. But what can you offer, Roger, on that question?
Obviously, it could. Yeah, it absolutely could. I've kind of made the acquaintance of a journalist with MLX, who's an absolute authority on arbitration, a real, you know, not just amongst football, but he knows, you know, he is one of the kind of leading journalists in terms of the competition appeals tribunal. He really knows his stuff. And he wrote a really interesting piece that I spoke to him about, how basically saying that this is uncharted territory for the Premier League. It could potentially, this and the Super League case, which is being brought by the European courts, could potentially change everything. At the moment, the Premier League are the gatekeepers to their own organisation. They decide who gets to play in the Premier League. Now, the whole point of the CAT case is that Mike Ashley, through St James's Holdings, is saying that is totally and utterly anti-competitive, and you do not apply the rules fairly. You've basically created a cartel in which you only allow certain people in, and it will be up to the Premier League to kind of defend that case. Now, you know, there's definitely a possibility that it wins. I think my issue, as I've said loads of times on this podcast before, is that is going to be a very, in my opinion, I don't know, you know, we've heard it said elsewhere that it's could be a resolution before the end of the year. Legal people I've spoken to said it could be a very, very long time, because you need to employ economic experts who can tell you whether there has been, you know, because obviously part of the claim is for damages as well. So you have to employ people who can tell you, who can estimate how much money has been lost by something happening, you know, and that has to take in a load of different factors. So I think it's going to be a long-term thing. They're very bullish about this CAT case, but again, they were very bullish about arbitration, weren't they? You know, it feels like it was a pressure tactic by Mike Ashley. But again, we will see what it holds. It's uncharted territory, but yeah, that is a possibility. That is very much a possibility. It's an optimistic possibility. I think it's erring on the side of, you know, optimistic that happens. But is it impossible? Absolutely not.
Just before we got into a final few questions, we have a season preview coming out very soon. I've popped the link on how to order that into the comments, and you can get a digital copy, you can get a paperback copy, all the details are on there. Please do have a look, and if you fancy getting it, sign up and get your copy ordered. Mark, Stephen Potterhook asks, why did the Magpies agree to this delay with the arbitration, do you think?
I mean, to me, it would suggest that, as I said before, that both sides have had issues with disclosure. 6 months feels like an awfully long time. For me, I would have thought it would be 6 weeks, 6 days, something along those lines, if it was a very simple issue to resolve. 6 months, to me, feels kicking it into the long grass very much, with almost the intention that it might be resolved before then, one way or another. But I feel that the Newcastle obviously have some issues over disclosure as well themselves, so they need the time to get that all to get all the ducks in the row in that way as well. And you know, it feels to me like Mike Ashley is almost getting to the point where he's in so deep with this the PIF bid that he's kind of got to the point where it's like, well, what difference does 6 months make? But again, without the kind of insight that Mike Ashley can give, I can't really give a reason. All I can say is that's the reason why. And there's a lot of people now doubting whether this takeover will happen full stop because of that, the length of that delay. It took a few people by surprise that it's that much of a delay. They've agreed to it, and now they're going to go into this next season. I think that worries me more than the fact that it's not happened. The alternative suggestion is that they want the cap to start, and that because it'll be played out in public, or there will be some public disclosure in that. That plays into their hands a little bit more. We will see. We've been down this road a lot of times. How many times have I been here saying I feel, optimistic based on the noises that we're hearing, a lot. And that's why I think probably optimism on that side needs to be, mitigated by the fact that, we've been here before with optimism.
Just on that season preview supplement, it'll only cost you £1.25 to get a hard copy to your door. That just covers the postage and packaging. So essentially it's free minus the postage cost. So do get yourself signed up to that. Mark, we mentioned the 6 month delay. For me, that seems a bit of a gamble. If Mike Ashley's still going to pin his hopes on this deal going through in 6 months, because we could get the arbitration in early 2022 and he still might not win it. Even if he does win it, many people believe it will just reset the process. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get waved through. It means that, like I say, the process is reset, and then it might not even get waved through once that process is reset. So do you think he will just keep his hopes pinned on the Saudi PIF, or do you think he will open the door to potential other buyers, of which he hasn't done, over the last year?
I think in the short term, he's committed to this deal. There's a lot of water gone under the bridge now with this. I think he wants this deal. I think that might change if somebody comes and actually puts money in front of him, like this group have. The reason he's so keen on this bid is because he sees it as, I've had a lot of people come to me and say, we're going to buy it, do all the due diligence, spend all the money on lawyers' fees, and then not end up having the money to buy it. I can think of at least three groups that have done that. Why they then couldn't raise the money, who knows? And I think Mike Ashley's gone a long way down that road before and doesn't want to go down that road again. So I think he sees this as, this is the way out. This gets me £100 million profit. I know they're good for the money. We've agreed the deal. It's the only time that I've been sure that it's actually going to happen. That's why he's so committed to it. The question of whether somebody else can come in is a big one. We know the people who are interested. We know there are people interested. There was a guy at the week who's ended up buying or investing in Benfica, who seemed to have put down a deposit or was willing to put down a deposit. We know Red Bull, who were the group, Billy Beane's group, were interested in buying a stake. James Palotta, Roma, very interested in Newcastle United, keeps mentioning them. I think Will, if this doesn't go through, will make an approach. I think he's already done due diligence on the football club. And there will be others as well. There'll be others as well in the background. But the fact is that the Saudi PIF, Amanda Staveley, Ruben's bid, is the one that has proven to have the money, has a business plan. They have the money to invest in the club. It makes sense. The only thing they can't do is get it through, and the frustration for me is that I don't think they envisage these problems. They would say we didn't envisage the problems because the Premier League changed the goalposts. Maybe others might say they didn't anticipate the problem because they were being a bit naive about the whole thing. Whatever the rights and wrongs are, we're now 16 months down the line. We've been talking about this for years. Lovely sunny day outside. I remember the day it broke. It was a beautiful sunny day. We've gone through four seasons. We've gone through a football season. We've gone through a pandemic. And we're still not there. And that, to me, suggests that at some point this can't go on forever. And it maybe will encourage people who had given up to maybe come back and say, okay, we're interested again. The good thing, and I've spoken to a few people who are investors in football in the last year, and they all say the same thing, that Mike Ashley, as much as the Newcastle fans don't like him, has got the club in perfect position to be bought. They have very few long-term binding debts now, apart from the one that's owned to the owner. They are fairly self-sustainable, even through a pandemic. You know, the accounts will eventually come out in the next few weeks, and they will show a club that obviously lost a lot of money last year. But because their costs are so low, have the ability to ride that pandemic. And anybody who wants to come in, I mean, the PIF, we're talking about 50 million a summer for transfers. That isn't massive money. We're not talking, that is not 250 million every, it's a lot of money that can buy you a Joe Willock and another really good first team player. But that the word from the PIF was 50 million pound transfer window. That isn't, you know, somebody else can come in and possibly, you know, do that. So it's there. It's there for somebody who wants it. I think if somebody comes in, but I think the noise around this, the clear facts as well, that the fans want this deal, 97% want this deal, has put people off in the past. So they'll let it ride for the cat, I think. It'll be probably 6 months now. They'll have to start planning for the season ahead. And if we're still in this situation next year, you know, I'd be very surprised if we have the same feverish feel about the takeover that there has been for the last year. So I think people are getting fed up of it, to be honest.
Yeah, 100%.
I really do.
We'll finish on this summer, because now that we've had the delay, Mike Ashley is clearly going to be in charge, at least for the remainder of the window, and probably 6 months down the line, leading into that January transfer window, ironically enough. But this summer, it's clear Newcastle need improvements. We know Joe Willock's a priority, but they also, Steve Bruce also looks like he wants a defender. Many fans want a striker to come in. There's work to be done. Will this delay force Mike Ashley to dip into his pocket a bit more, or do you see him sticking with that reported, 10, 15 million pound budget and gambling that Newcastle have got enough to get to January where he hopes, we think, the arbitration would rule in his favour?
Well, he did it last summer. I would say that for him. And, you know, he was being told last summer that this deal was going to happen. I mean, in September, they believe that the political pressure that was being applied, and, you know, we saw the disclosures that have been made in the last 3 or 4 months, clearly show that there was intense pressure being put on people around the fringes of this deal. So, to me, it feels like, I would think that there will be some money released. He likes Steve Bruce. He doesn't want to leave Steve Bruce totally flapping in the wind, which I think he knows that if he doesn't bring the players in, he will. This time last year, they'd signed Jeff Hendrick, hadn't they, already? And they were well on the way with Ryan Fraser. Obviously, Callum Wilson ended up signing in August, I think. So they can do the deal. The transfer window has been very, you know, although Newcastle clearly need new players, the transfer window has been incredibly slow so far. I don't think there'll be massive amounts of business. I think there'll be a lot of loans doing the rounds. Newcastle are in good position to bring players in that way, because they handled Joe Willock so well last year. I think Joe Willock will sign for Newcastle. Personally, if you ask me, I think that deal will happen. It'll be a loan deal with a potential obligation to buy. I think they'll also bring in another loan. I think they'll bring in two loan midfielders. And I think they'll probably sign a defender, but they'll be in the mercy. They'll be at the mercy of fate with strikers, because they don't have somebody who can come in and replace Alan Wilson. And obviously, he did get a couple of injuries last year. And the other thing that worries you a little bit is obviously Alan Sir Maxim was very vocal last few months ago about needing Newcastle to kind of kick on and keep going if they were going to get any better. Now, will they look at Alan Sir Maxim, a massive fans' favourite, obviously changed the game for them loads of times last year? Will they look at Alan Sir Maxim and say, yes, he was, but he played, I think, I can't remember what it is, it's about 40% of the games he missed last season or didn't finish. Will they look at it and say, if we can raise the sort of, I think, 75 million that we want for him, do we take the money and reinvest in the rest of the squad, bring in Joe Willock and then add other players? That's the gamble. Now, that would be the kind of very big gamble that they did make in 2011, 2012, when they sold quite a few of those players and reinvested in the likes of Yoenka Bayon. But I don't think they're in that mind frame at the moment. I think they're very much a case of we'll bring one or two in and hope that it gets us over the line. I think Willock will come back, and then I think they really need to go out and buy one player who can really add to them, because, you know, yes, they were improving towards the end of last season, but it was with Willock. And it was with Sam Maximum doing well, and it was with Callum Wilson as well. They are, I don't think it's going to be as clear cut relegation wise next season as it was this season. I think Brentford will come up and have a go. Norwich, you'd think they'll be early favourites to go down, but again, you know, they've had another year of experience. They're a very settled team. They caused Newcastle all kinds of problems last time in the Premier League as well. And Watford, obviously, you know, they're not newcomers either. They're not going to be ripping boys. I think Brentford, ironically, will come up ready to go, and they might stay up as well. So you might be looking at a whole new crop of teams struggling next season. And Newcastle's goal with the start that they've got is to get points on the board. They don't want to be taking risks. And you know, you look at that squad and you look at the way they played on Sunday, and you say, you know, they need something. It helps the players who are in the squad. If you get new players in, it really does add a layer of kind of competition and things as well. So they need players. I think Ashley, you know, I think Ashley, as much as I don't trust the man in a lot of ways, I think he will come through, and they probably will end up signing the two or three players that they need. And, you know, they need to, because they aren't yet ready, I think, to have a season where you'd look at them going into it and saying they're in trouble. You know, I think if they bring in two or three, they can be mid-table again, or maybe even better. You never know. But if they don't, then I think they're in relegation. They're in a relegation battle.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We see some new signs sooner rather than later. Mark, thank you for popping on to the Everything is Black and White podcast. You guys watching and listening, we appreciate your company as always. Please remember to like and subscribe through whichever platform you are joining us through, and head over to chroniclelive.co.uk to keep up to date with all the latest Newcastle United news.